of the Christmas present that shocked the world. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And notice the next phrase, and he called his name Jesus. Let's go ahead and start with prayer. Lord, you've greatly blessed the music. I thank you for that. Lord, you've blessed the attendance. I thank you for that. So many people joining us, answering invitations. And now, Father, would you take your word and would you open it to us? Lord, such a simple message. Lord, it's been the message that's been preached well before you ever came to earth, that Jesus can save sinners. Amen. And Lord, I pray that today you would open some heart. Lord, those of us who are saved, I pray that you would remind us of the wonderful gift we have in you, and that it would be more precious to us this season than it's ever been before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to look at this present. It's given right here in Matthew 1, this present of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at three very simple aspects of this present. Number one, I want to notice the giver of the present. Like every present you've ever received, it always has a giver. Someone who sacrificed to give it. Someone who it did cost so that you could get it for free. And in John 3:16, perhaps the most famous verse in all Scripture, we learn who the giver of this gift is. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That righteous judge of all the earth, the God of the universe, is the giver of this gift.
Amen.
But you see, he gave it because he knew it was needed. Those are the best gifts that are needed in someone's life. And the giver sees that need and meets that need. You see, we've all broken God's law. That righteous, holy judge of all the earth, God Almighty, he knows that we have fallen short. He sees our thoughts, our deeds, everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we do. We're a sinful people, and that's one thing God knew, and that's why he sent Jesus to die for us. And you see, in Romans 3:23, even if we don't think we're sinners, God says, yes, you are. For he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all lived less than perfection. But see, that's the wonderful news, is that God Almighty knew that in our sinful condition we could not be forgiven of our sins or have eternal life. And so he gave his only son. He didn't just give one son. He didn't just give us $100. He didn't give us a new car or a mansion. He gave us his only son. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that no one else has ever done for me, and God did it for me. So secondly, I want you to notice, what is this present that's being given? So we have a giver, but this present is the most precious present you've ever heard of. I'd like to start with the first, and I believe one of the most important aspects of this present, and that's the forgiveness of sins. Nothing can be better than having your sins blotted out, washed away by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Colossians 1:14 says, speaking of Jesus, it says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That which is darkest of our past, that which we've tried to hide, that which no one else knows about, that which haunts us and haunts our conscience, God can wash away.
Amen.
Jesus already paid the price for your sin, folks. And now he's asking you to accept his present of forgiveness. I wonder how many rich men, how many influential people, how many people who seem to have everything in the world that should bring them peace, joy, happiness, are some of the most miserable people in all the earth because of a guilty conscience. A conscience that has fear of standing before an almighty, holy God one day and giving account for every deed, every word, every action. So many men, women, boys, and girls, they live great on the outside. They'd like to make you believe that everything is good with them, but in their deepest heart, they know that if they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're guilty. And they're scared of facing an almighty, righteous God, because they should be, because God said that for all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God, and the payment of that sin is death, eternal death. So this gift of forgiveness is that of taking away that debt that we could never pay and giving us Christ, eternal righteousness. The same thought is given in Ephesians 1. He says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." I wonder tonight if you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, asking Him to forgive you of your sin. That cleansing, there's nothing better than being washed free and clean. I'm sure every single one of you can agree that a guilty conscience is one of the most miserable things in the world. It's worse than a prison. It's worse than anything else. In fact, that's what makes prison prison in many ways, because it confines someone to their mind to think. And God one day is going to recall every one of those thoughts, and you're going to have to give an account. Are you going to let Christ pay for it, or are you going to pay for it? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us a wonderful truth. So not only do we owe this debt, but Jesus Christ, in the present of salvation, offers us His righteousness and takes our sin from us. Amen. It says, "For He hath been made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That way we can stand before God on Judgment Day knowing that our sins have been washed away. They're clean. Oh, it doesn't mean that we never did it, but in the sight of God, we're clean, we're forgiven. We can move forward in assurance that our sins are forgiven. No man can do that for you. No religion can do that for you. So the second aspect of this present, not only does it give you the forgiveness of sin, which in and of itself is better than anything you'll ever receive here on earth, but the eternal life. God gives us eternal life. An assurance that once we leave this temporal life, there's a life to come so much grander and better, one with Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. John 3:16, we have the promise of that eternal life. It says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. It's a promise. And it's present tense and it's future tense and never end. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ, He's forgiven me of my sin, and He gave me eternal life. I have it right now. Amen. So not only can you be free from the guilt of your sin, but you can be free from the wonderings and the doubts of the future life, that God, you will be with Christ if you receive this present. But thirdly, that's not all. It's the forgiveness of sins. It's everlasting life, which that is there's no value you can put on that. And then God says, but dig deeper in the bag. You forgot something. There's still more in the present. I want to give you an abundant life here. Yeah. That's something that no religion, even if they do promise you something in the future, they can't give you an abundant life here. They can't give you the peace and the joy and the purpose and the satisfaction that Christ alone can give. John 10:10, Jesus Himself said, "I am come that they might have life, and life more abundant." So you see, salvation is not just a fire escape. It's not just life insurance where we get saved so that we don't have to go to hell. No, thankfully God saves us from hell at salvation. But this present is Jesus Christ living Himself through us and in us. That's not mystical. That's a present, powerful truth that Christ can work in us. Amen. And I wonder tonight if you've ever had Christ Jesus, you've ever received him into your life. He's washed you of your sins. You know for sure that you're clean before an almighty God. You know that you have the eternal life. And better than that, you know that you have an abundant life right now. Purpose and peace. You know, I mentioned those rich men earlier. Rich people all over the world. And how many commit suicide? How many live in absolute... You know, you think of the poorest person you can think of, and you think, well, of course, they would be depressed and down. But sometimes the richest people, the people with the most fame, are the lowest people emotionally, spiritually, physically. Why? Because they've never accepted this present of eternal life, or they would have the peace of God. I want you to listen as Jesus calls to you tonight. In Matthew 11, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. Jesus is calling. So many are laden with sin. They have a guilty conscience before God. They don't know. They have no assurance of salvation. They have no assurance that Christ has saved them or they have eternal life. And they most certainly have no abundant life. They have none of the joy that passes understanding and that peace that we can't understand. And yet they won't come to the Savior who's already given their life for them and says, "I want you to come. Receive this gift this Christmas." So not only do we have the giver, we have a gift, and now we have the receiver. You see, this present's given to a very, very specific group of people. And I want you to listen tonight at this verse and see if you're in this group of people. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save, and here comes that which was lost." You see, Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners.
Amen.
He came to save those who are lost in sin and were willing to admit it. No one can receive this gift of eternal life, this gift of forgiveness of sins, if they won't even admit that they have sins to forgive, or if they won't admit that they can't earn their way to heaven. You and I are lost before an almighty God. Oh, you may know that you're in La Plata. You may know that this address, but you're just as lost as can be, wandering outside of Christ with no understanding of who Christ is to you. And He wants to become a personal Savior. He wants to bring you into His fold as a loving Savior and give you something that no one else can ever give you. But notice, not only is it to the lost, but there's one other category within the lost. So not only do you have to know that you're lost, but in Romans 10:13, He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How many people know they're lost? They'll admit that. They know they're a rotten sinner. But I'm going to work my way to heaven. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to get there some other way. I will not accept a Jesus to die for my sins. And there they are. They're in the lost camp. They know that salvation is given to them. But they still die and go to hell outside of Christ, paying for their own sins for all of eternity, when Jesus has already given His own life to save you. No one else loved you that much. No one else would even give you $100, and yet Jesus gave His life, and you're rejecting Him.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, as we close, this is a very simple thought. And I want to know, have you received this gift? It's very simple to receive the gift. John 1:12 makes it so clear. He said, "To as many as received Him." On Christmas morning, many people pull the presents out of underneath the tree. And they go and hand this present to Dad and this present to Mom. And imagine this Christmas as the present is handed to you and you say, "No, appreciate it, but no, I'll do it on my own." Do you have any idea what's in this present for you? Doesn't matter. It can be the whole world, but I don't want it. I'm not going to receive. You see, receiving is so simple. We make it so complicated, but receiving is accepting that which has been given with the faith that it is all that it is promised to be, and it is for me.
Amen.
So simple. It is all that it's promised to be, and it's for me. And you and I can receive it. So tonight I ask you the question, will you receive Jesus Christ? You may know about him. You've probably heard about him all your life. Every Christmas you know about Jesus in the manger. But tonight I'm asking you to take that promised gift of Jesus Christ that came and died for your sins. And I want you to take it from a head knowledge of that Jesus died for you to a heart where you say, I'm that lost sinner. I'm the one that needs forgiveness of sin. I'm the one that needs eternal life. I'm the one that wants to claim that abundant life that only comes in Christ. And I'm willing to receive it by faith, believing that Jesus will do what he promised to do. What did he promise to do? To save that which was lost. And if you'll come to him as a child, here I am, a lost sinner, and I'm done trying to work my way in. But you've promised a way in, and I accept it.
Amen.
This Christmas can be the best Christmas of your life as you receive the gift of Jesus. And perhaps you've already received that gift, and I praise the Lord. There's nothing better. But this Christmas, meditate on that. What a better gift can you ever receive than Jesus himself, the loving Savior who died for you? And there he calls. And I ask you as Christians, why don't you go call to, echo his call to the lost and say, there is a Savior who will forgive you of your sins if you'll come and receive him. Would you go ahead and bow with me, please, for a short word of prayer? Oh, Father, I come before you tonight, and I want to thank you for the gift that you gave me, almost 19 years ago. Lord, a gift of eternal life that no man can ever take away. Lord, a gift of salvation, a gift of forgiveness that I would value above any temporal thing, honestly. And I pray in Jesus' name that some soul tonight might be reached by your word. Oh, Savior, loving Savior, would you draw some soul to you tonight? Help us Christians to live for you and to shout your praises and your glory and enjoy this present of Jesus Christ this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.